Welcome to this week's podcast of Kicking It with Kidneys with your host, Cindy Barclay. Hey, Cindy, take it away.
Welcome back to Kicking It with Kidneys, a forum to discuss important topics for historically suppressed voices within communities of color. We're going to be talking about mental health today, y'all. Mental health is a topic that's received increasing awareness. You've got celebrities such as Simone Biles, Beyonce, Adele, and Demi Lovato. They have all spoken about their struggles with various forms of mental illness. The effort to destigmatize mental illness has increased as a result of stressors many experienced during the COVID pandemic. However, we all know communities of color have been exposed to social stressors such as poverty, racism, high rates of drug abuse, and violence for generations. Now, the question is, how is mental illness being addressed in communities of color, and are efforts to change the perception of getting help working at all? All right, so our KIWK team is back in the house. We have BJ Simone, Maria Jimenez, and of course, Rita Williams. So BJ, what is the word on the street?
Well, Cindy, as always, we try to examine challenging topics on Kicking It with Kidneys. And this week's word on the street definitely fits into that category. So let's take a listen.
Because sometimes when you have a mental illness, you feel so different. It's like you're not even, you know, you feel so disconnected. Like I can't even feel like other people feel.
I can say the trauma and the scars that we carry and the pain that we carry. And it's not okay to talk about it, you know, and I don't care because the truth needs to come out. They'd much rather tell you that they got AIDS before they tell you that they have some form of mental illness, and it's just that much stigma.
I needed help with my mental health. The mentality we have as Latinos is I'm not crazy, and it's not that we're crazy. It's that we need support of a doctor, a specialist.
One of the biggest barriers is the stigma of being labeled crazy.
You have these people telling you, looking you in the face, and telling you, you can just pray this demon away.
Andrea Vasquez was diagnosed with major depressive disorder when she was 16.
The anger was the bigger part of it, the depression, the panic attacks that I'd been having. And at that moment, I told him, you know, this is a crisis because I don't want to live.
Latinos, sometimes, because we tend to believe that it's a nervousness, tiredness, we try to give them a physical ailment so it's better tolerated by society. And then we always assume that it will go away.
Suicide is the 10th leading cause of death in the U.S., and according to the CDC, suicide disproportionately affects American Indians and Alaska Natives the most among any other racial or ethnic group in the country.
You know, a lot of our families are single parents, and the single parents are not the guys, it's the women. And if you got five or six kids and you got to make a living too, whoa, in the inner city, my God, that's a heck of a job to do.
And in the Asian American community in particular, we're the least likely demographic to seek mental health resources. Asian American women are the second highest suicidal demographic in the United States, right after Native American women. So there's just a lot of bias in Asian American culture about mental health and a refusal to acknowledge it.
And I finally started to believe that I had a chance, that I was gonna be okay after so many people told me I would never make it. And I do mean so many people.
Come out, find help, it is there.
Our guest today is Don E. Miller. Now Don has a BS in applied behavior science. He also has a master's in professional counseling and is currently pursuing a doctoral degree in behavioral health from Community Cummings Graduate Institute. He has over 20 years experience providing individual, family, and group therapy, which focuses on family functionality. He also works with adolescents and adults in the areas of chemical dependency, mental health, youth development, and team building and education, of course. Additionally, he is the host of a weekly radio talk show called Miller on the Mic, which airs 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and it's on 860 a.m. WAEC Radio. Welcome, Don. We are so excited to have you with us today. And you feel comfortable with these ladies, don't you? I mean, you're feeling, are we making you feel at home?
Oh, most definitely. Most definitely.
Okay. So tell us a little bit about yourself. I mean, we don't want a long dissertation, all these accolades behind your name and all these letters. Just tell me a little bit about yourself.
Well, one, I started working in the field of mental health at a real young age. I started out working in a methadone maintenance treatment program where, you know, methadone is a synthetic drug for people that have a problem with opiate addiction. And I started working there as a young kid, continued to do that, worked in some mental health dual diagnosis hospitals, then eventually worked as in youth development for about 13 years. Then I really started to get more into the mental health piece. I always wanted to be a therapist. So I began to work more in that field, then finally got in school. And here I am today as a mental health provider. And one of the reasons why I always wanted to get in this field, because when you look at the numbers of Black male professionals in this field, when you look at 100% of counselors in America, there's only 4%. When you look at psychiatrists, when you look at therapists, 4% are men, Black men. So just ask that question around the world, how does Black men deal with mental health? Because they don't have a lot that look like them that's talking about it.
Well, our panelists have a few questions for you today.
Hi, Don. Welcome to the program. We're so happy that you're here. So I have the first question.
Okay.
Can renal failure or chronic health problems lead to mental illness?
Yes, it can. It can really lead to a lot of depression. And what you find, since we talk about kicking it with kidneys, when you're really talking about diabetes and other type of medical issues can transfer into mental health issues. Because you think about it, a person who's having some renal, some failure with their eyesight, they can start getting depressed, which means now they have depression along with that. So they have a dual type diagnosis at that point.
So the second part is, and if so, what are some of the predominantly mental health problems and treatments associated with long-term illness?
Well, one would be you're going to get depression, you're going to get anxiety, you're going to get some PTSD, some post-traumatic stress from it. Because again, this is some things that have happened that has caused you to start behaving in a certain way. You look at a medical issue and it can be considered trauma. So the trauma itself can go into a mental health issue. So one of the main treatments to that is A, you can get speak to a therapist and medication management, but you can use a combination of both, depending on how severe the mental health illness is. I call it mental health impairment because I want to take that stigma away from illness. I say an impairment because if a person has heart disease, they have a cardiovascular impairment, right? So when you look at it as an impairment, you go get help. Or let's just say if you have some vision problems, you have a visual impairment. Now, it's a couple of things can happen with that visual impairment. If it's untreated, A, you can start, your eyes will get worse, or you can end up being blind, or certain things can happen. But there's certain types of support you can have for that visual impairment. You can get glasses, you can get contacts, you can get surgery, you can get help. So you got all those other things. So you don't have to be blind. You don't have to go without seeing. The whole thing about mental health is function and behavior. When you look at a person's level of function and behavior, you know something is wrong. So that's all it is. How can I get you to function in the midst of your impairment?
Well, it sounds like it encompasses all mind, body, and soul. The way
it does. It does.
Yeah.
All right. Hi, Don. Thank you so much for joining us today.
How you doing?
Good. My question to you is, why does the stigma associated with mental illness for the communities of color exist? And what are the challenges to those communities getting access to health care? I mean, to mental health services.
Well, one of the reasons why the stigma exists is could be twofold. One, we don't like going to the doctor, for one. So we have a mistrust in doctors from the start. Second is that...
Well, wait a minute. Now, where did that come from? Why do we have a mistrust in doctors?
There's a couple of reasons. One, okay. When you look at the Tuskegee experience, uh-huh. You know, how minorities was used for the syphilis experiment, and in actuality, they were not treated fairly. So we've been used as guinea pigs at times. So we have a lack of trust for the medical community. Then because of some racial or systemic racial policies and procedures in the medical field. So therefore, it's hard for someone to say, well, I'm going to go to the, if you say something's wrong with me, but then there's a denial with that because nobody wants to be considered crazy. And as a therapist, I say it this way. If you don't talk to someone, you're crazy versus going to talk to someone. You see what I mean? Because I reverse it, because if something's going on with your life, in your life, whether it's mental health, whether some physical, you need to know what it is so that you can do something to change it. So What happens is that we live, a lot of people are dying in silence. And what I mean by that, we won't talk about what's going on. We know something is going on. In most minority communities, you saw mental health early on. Remember, it was a thing you said, you know, something wrong with him. It's kind of special. Something going on with that kid. You know, something don't look right. But we didn't know what not look right was. And that's to our mama. That's to our cousin. You see mama going on. Something wrong with mama. Mama got some mood swings. What's wrong with mama today?
Yeah.
You didn't know that mama probably was bipolar. But you didn't know that because you didn't have nothing to stamp to that. You had no way of identifying that. Because we've been kind of away from that. Yeah. We haven't been open to that. We've been in denial of it. And then when you go back to slavery, when you deal with some of the issues of post-traumatic slave stuff that went on, that men don't talk, people don't talk. So if I don't talk about how I feel, I suppress how I feel. Uh-huh. But yet, even though I suppress, it's got to come out one way or another. So sometimes we self-medicate or sometimes we just act out.
Yes.
So we don't deal with
another thing to also think about is where are these the access to this in our communities? Where do we go? Who's supposed to pay for this?
Well, you have most of your insurances now do pay for it, but then you can get Medicare. They have pieces of that. If it's an older individual, they can go through AARP, has different pieces of that. Mental health now has become almost popular. If you really want to get into it, because what has happened, you got celebrities now that are saying, hey, I got a mental health issues. You have most people talking about it. So now it's becoming a subject matter that people are talking about. But the group that sometimes still struggle with that are those from low socioeconomic environments.
Correct.
Because they don't have clinics that they can get access to. And again, they still get stuck in some of those stereotypes. When you look at various income levels, now you're exposed to more. If you have more money, you're exposed to more. You're exposed to better treatment. So the dialogue is more common to households that have the means to go to see a therapist. Some people, you hear the word therapist, I ain't crazy. That's the first thing you're going to hear.
I'm not
crazy.
Yeah.
Well, Dawn, hi. I am so glad to meet you and spend this time with you. And I agree with you. I think for some people in certain socioeconomic groups, that mental illness can be held against them, especially when they go to get a job or they go to apply for even college. It's a matter of what's on your record. So I'm glad you said that.
But even with that, though, even if they go to college, now you have this ADA, the American Disability Act, that they have to provide even extra time for you. I had an actual client that was trying to get into law school, and several times he could not pass the LSAT. And so he came to me and we talked about it, and he talked about his mental illness. He talked about having ADHD. Mm-hmm. And so I was able to write a letter speaking about his issue, and then he was able to get more time and taking the LSAT, which in terms he were able to get into college. And now he's working on his law degree. So there's ways of going around that so that you can still get what you need, but not be penalized for having a mental health issue.
Well, we need to clone men like you. We need to clone therapists like you.
Because, you know, one of the things, particularly in communities of color, that, as you kind of alliterated to, was this assumption that mama got a crazy check for kids. So kids got to be defined as having mental illness, but the treatment wasn't necessarily there.
Wow. Well, you get twofold. You all in any field, you're going to have some people that's going to take advantage of it in the wrong manner. But when I look at it, there have been times where that has been overly blown and the issue had never really got dealt with. And so you're still going to have that. But for the most part, you really have to look at what's happening with young people. You really got to look at the behavior and the function, because if something's going on, somebody functioning a certain way, you got to be able to say, wait a minute, something's irrational about this. But what we do a lot of times, we try to make irrational rational. But if it's irrational, if you're seeing things, ain't nothing rational about you seeing things. You saying, I see something. Somebody's saying, well, no, yeah, I see it too. No, I don't see that. Mm-mm.
So, and a lot of parents, if something is wrong with my child, it says it's something wrong with my parenting.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's it. So, I don't want it to identify with me. Right. I want to deny. Because, see, they ain't got nothing to me. That's your daddy. That's your daddy. Ain't nothing to my family. That's your daddy. the woman, if it's the man, that's your mama. That's your mama. See that crazy stuff? That's in your mama. That ain't in my family. So one of the things I do is get some family history. Just like you doing anything, you get family history and you find out that the mental health illness is either one or twofold. It's either environmental or genetic, or it could be both.
Yeah,
it could be both. But, you know, you start asking those questions, people start opening up. Well, mama used to trip. Yeah, okay, this is where it come from. Okay, yeah, it's some history there. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about it. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well, Don, we know that Native Americans and Alaska Natives have the highest rates of suicide. What are some of the risk factors for suicide and mental illness with the poor and people of color?
Well, the fact that when suicide come about, if you're not involved with talking with someone, it's just you and your feelings. Think about it. If you don't know how to manage your emotions, and this is something I talk with men and women about, you have to learn how to manage your emotions versus your emotions managing you. If you sit in by yourself, and this is how suicide probably happens for a lot of people, they sit and they start thinking. And I call it ruminating over the past. You and your thoughts, and your thoughts just going negative. So what happens is that you got to get out of those negative thinking, that negative thought process, and start doing some positive self-talk. So one of the things that stops a lot of people is, again, that willingness to say, I have a problem.
Yes.
That suppressing those emotions. A lot of times, especially with men, we don't want to talk about what's going on. That's why you find a lot of men that will be drinking, that would use drugs, because that's a way of self-medicating. I smoke a joint, but I won't go get some medication because the medication going to control me versus I control myself. And really, in actuality, you're doing more harm, because even if you're smoking weed for a long period of time, it's causing some other problems. Your memory can get bad just by smoking weed. You know, people love to say, well, I can create more. You ain't create more because you're smoking no weed. And what begins to happen, though, a lot of times when people are drinking and drugging, you take away the drink and the drug, now you'll see the problem, because I've been self-medicating. You know that? Y'all know people tell me they get creative when they start smoking.
I know, but let me ask you something. You know, I've had one of them gummy bears. Those occasional gummy bears, is that a problem? Is that a problem?
Yeah, that's a problem. Keep working with them gummy bears. That bear gonna come out of that gummy. It's gonna be you're gonna be seeing a real bear. It ain't gonna be a gummy bear. It's gonna be a real bear. You know, what's that bear doing in my room? I know I ain't at the circus. I ain't at the zoo. Why am I seeing this big old bear this time of night? Bears don't come out at 7 o'clock at night.
There are medicinal uses to marijuana when taken appropriately.
We ain't talking about medicinal. We talking about people eating brownies and not no prescription. We ain't talking about prescription THC. We talking about that on the street that Pookie done gave you. We talking about what you and Pookie doing on the weekend.
Okay,
Pookie done gave you.
But Pookie done gave. That's not grammatically correct, so I just said Pookie Dungay. You know, y'all know what I'm talking about. Pookie Dungay. Ain't no doctor named Pookie. You find a doctor named Pookie, I want to leave. Your street pharmacist.
All right. Rita, who is the next question? Is it
me? Yes, it's me. So, okay. Donna, African Americans have the lowest suicide rate in all ethnicities, but they have the highest homicide rates. Do you think that mental illness in communities of color contribute to this statistical data?
Yeah, it does. Most of us ain't gonna kill ourselves now. We ain't gonna tell them, I'm gonna kill me. I might kill somebody, but I ain't killing me.
Right.
You know, we're gonna knock somebody in the head before we knock it. We ain't jumping like a lot of people. I don't have no more money, so I'm gonna kill myself. Nope. We'll find a job. I lost my house. I'm gonna kill my. Nope. I'm gonna stay with mama. Cousin Willie.
But we have alternatives. That's right.
But we have alternatives. But homicide, yeah. Because, again, we're not dealing with our emotions appropriately. Instead of going to talk it out, we want to fight it out. And, again, when you deal with men, you're dealing with ego.
Yeah.
Think about how men are socialized and women are socialized. Let's just think about this as a kid. When a girl falls as a kid, mama and dad are going to say what? What are they going to say when the girl falls?
I'm here for you.
I'm here for you. They're going to wipe her arm off. Okay? You ain't got no bruises. You all right? But a boy fall, what's going to be said?
I don't know, Don. Tell me.
When a boy fall, you're going to hear, get up. Big boys don't cry.
Mm.
You don't supposed to cry, which is wrong. Because what they doing as a kid, they suppressing their emotions. So now, as a grown man, when something happened, I can't tell my emotions. Because if I show you my emotions, you're going to think I'm weak. So if you think I'm weak, then I'm vulnerable. And so if I'm vulnerable, you can take advantage of me. So I got to suppress what I feel. But I act out what I feel.
How much do you
That's why you get some violence.
How much do you think religion has to do with the suicide rate in African-American communities?
It could play a role depending on how you view religion, how you view. Let's take, for instance, if a kid decided to live an alternate lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
Depending on how his family feels, how the church feels, that kid can feel isolated. He can feel unloved. So now he's by himself again with this identity piece. Mm-hmm. My family, I can't identify with my family. My family don't identify with me. Everybody says I'm wrong. So therefore, what do I do with myself? They can't accept me for just being me. So the lack of acceptance can turn to this whole mental health piece, this depression.
Mm-hmm.
So they get depressed. Guess what happened? Mm-hmm. I'm by myself again with my thoughts, just me and my thoughts. I can't talk to them. Can't talk to mama because mama done betrayed me. Can't talk to my sister because she mad at me. So everybody has abandoned me. And all I have with me is my negative thoughts. So guess what happens? I start acting out what I think.
Okay.
See that? I start acting it out. So now I'm isolated. So I may go take my life because nobody cared about me. Nobody seemed to think I'm okay. You know, so the church could play a major role in that. Just loving a person for who they are. That's it. You know, it ain't my job to change or do whatever. It's my job to just love you. And that's it. Yeah. You know.
Some research suggests that women are more likely to develop mental illness than men. So since the majority of single parent households are women, how can we minimize the generational reoccurrence of the mental illness?
Well, one, women have to be willing to go get help, to talk to someone, to not feel like she has to be the male and the female. You're the woman. You'll never be the man. You'll be the woman.
Yeah, but oftentimes, Don, we're in this situation. I mean, we have to be mother and father, so we have to be strong for our kids, especially when a female. What is your take on a woman raising a male child? Because she feels like she has to kind of fill in the gap.
She doesn't. Because let me tell you this. And you said single women raising children. Let me help you with that statement. You never raise children by yourself. Now, let me help you with that before you jump on me and say, what you mean? I was the woman and the daddy in the house. Well,
I was getting ready to get you because I know. Yeah,
let me help you with that. Let me help you with that.
Mm-hmm.
Children would get influenced outside of the home from men. Check this out. you may think you're the only one speaking in that child's life, but when your child leaves out of that house, mm-hmm. other people are speaking in their lives, whether it's a coach, whether it's a janitor, whether it's somebody on the street. Indirectly, other people are still engaged in your child's development. Mm-hmm. And so the point of it is that although you're raising your child, one aspect of it in the house, you have to develop a network of other people, mm-hmm. other people that you can trust. Not yeah. just anybody, because your kids going to still find out stuff that you don't even know about. Matter of fact, I guarantee you every one of you women on this call have done some stuff your mama don't even know about right now today. That's Tell true. Me, am I right or wrong? Look at y'all. Y'all got your mouth closed now because you know I'm telling the truth. Yeah, look at that. I ain't got nothing to say about it. Yeah. Yeah, right, right. So that means that some influence comes from other places. The key mm-hmm. is... Uh-huh. What are the influences that your children are being exposed to?
Yeah.
But I think with single women raising kids, sometimes you got to stop trying to be the hero and uh-huh. be okay with saying, I'm stressed. Be okay with saying, this is rough.
Verbalize.
Let me tell you something that I learned even from my mom when she was here. I learned the whole piece of prayer by watching my mom deal with certain things. I would watch her get upset about not having finances at times. She'd be in there praying and Lord make a way and
that's
all
that. That's a biggie.
And uh-huh. I learned that, uh-huh. but I saw my mom do that. Uh-huh. See, uh-huh. most men find out about church from their mothers, not their fathers a lot.
Okay.
Which is another piece we can get into down the road. But again, single mothers have to be willing to open themselves up and be just transparent. Stop mm-hmm. thinking that you got to be so strong and I can't show no weakness. I can't show where I'm hurt. Your kids need to know how to deal with those emotions mm-hmm. appropriately. Because if you acting all strong, if you acting strong all the time, what you think they're going to think? Oh, man, that's how I deal with a problem. No, this is how you deal with a problem. You put it in God's hand, you work through it. This is what I'm going through today. It ain't you. It's just life, you know? And I'm going to teach you how to work through life. And the daddy gone, he gone. So, okay, he ain't there. Then you got to talk about the man. Just keep moving.
Just keep moving. I like that.
Well, do you think that the disproportionate rate of incarceration among people of color is due to the criminalization of mental illness?
That along with a lack of understanding the culture. You have some people that's not culture competent. You know, you don't understand the culture, so you assume that this kid is trying to do something. In actuality, we don't look at you in your eyes. So if I don't look at you with my eyes looking at you and you looking at me, you think that's a form of disrespect. When in actuality, I don't know that I should be mm-hmm. looking at you that way.
Training.
So there's a lot of lack of cultural competence in certain communities. So therefore, you know, you have a lack of trust with police officers. Some people see the police officer and get nervous. I mean, think about it. You driving in your car, and I know I felt this before. I'm mm-hmm. driving in my car, and a cop come by, and a police pull behind me. I start thinking, you know what? And I'm a good citizen. I ain't did nothing, but I start having some stress. Is my tag been paid for? Mm-hmm. Why they following me? The officer just could be taking a drive, but I'm all paranoid because mm-hmm. of my prior interaction with police officers. So you can mm-hmm. have that undue stress and they have nothing to do with the officer, but then your reaction comes across a certain way. And their reaction comes. Think about it. An officer coming in a community that he don't know anything about. So he's got stress. He's got anxiety. The person he's dealing with got stress and anxiety. So they're coming together with a lack of understanding. And so, boom, you have incarceration. You have some violence that can jump off. So I think we got to educate each other more. I think that the black community has to educate officers when they come in the community. How can we work together? It's got to be a partnership.
Mm-hmm. And what about the system, Don? I mean, in terms of, you know, African-Americans being incarcerated for drug use and they're incarcerated and other groups oftentimes get a sentence that allows them to go to rehab. Because it's seen as a disease in one case, it's seen as a criminal act in another.
It does. And that's part of that systemic racial policies and procedures that we have to change. I just want to call it just what it is. Mm-hmm. Systemic racial policies. Now you see that they're trying to decriminalize marijuana. At one point, marijuana was, you know, you got years for it, but now they're trying to look at it a little differently, as, you know, not as criminal as it been in the past. So that's why they look at it a little differently today than it was prior years.
My. Well, you have certainly opened my eyes on a lot of things today. I'm a little nervous though, because, you know, back to those gummy bears.
Okay, you know. Keep messing with them gummy bears. Eh?
Well, Don, those gummy bears are legal in 23 states.
Okay,
I mean,
so you just gonna put it out there. Is it legal in your state?
Okay, but you know what?
Is it legal in your state? Is it legal in your state? Let's talk about. You ain't staying in one of them 23 states.
Okay, so can we proceed on to what are we going to do about my patients during this holiday season when they're feeling depression and anxiety? How are my renal patients going to make it through this? Okay, everybody's worried about finances. Okay, I don't have enough. Prices are going up. You know, prices are accelerating every day. I think they just put on a sticker just to do so, just increase the cost of everything. And they have limited, you know, means to conduct their day-to-day lives. So how are my patients gonna manage during this holiday season?
One of the things you need to tell your patients is this, is where are you in reference to your way you feel, okay? Because what you cannot change, you cannot control.
Okay, I like
that.
That's
one. You cannot change, you cannot control. Now, what you can change, that's what you can control. What if you don't have the money? What you gonna do? You keep on living. Now, the reason why I say that, you have to be simple, but you got to be honest with people. People are getting worked up about stuff they cannot change. I can't change how you act, but I can change how I react. So you got to get people to start thinking about how can I react differently. I don't have to have all gifts. Maybe I get a couple of gifts. I don't have to have turkey dressing and all this layout. Maybe I can minimize that. I know what I have to work with.
Yes.
So work within your means. Reason why a lot of people have anxiety and depression, because they're trying to do something that they cannot control. What can you control? And then what do I need to help me stay in control? See that? And that may be, that may need to be increase of some medication. That may be some sessions during the time frame. There may be, hey, you don't need to go around Radium this weekend, because Radium always seems to set you off. So you need to not hang out with them. You need to stay home. You don't need to get on the phone with a lover that done broke your heart, and now it's around that time and you crying and you calling him up and now you all depressed. Maybe you don't need to call him no more. Maybe you don't need to see him. Maybe you need to just chill, you know. Maybe you don't need to go out to such and such a place, because you know when you go to such and such a place,
yes,
Ray gonna be there.
Yes.
You're gonna start feeling a certain way. So the key is, what can you control? What do you need to change? Need to look at another word that we use in mental health is triggers. What are your triggers for depression?
Yeah.
What are your triggers for anxiety? What are you doing to change that? You see what I mean? Mm-hmm. Because if you keep doing the same thing, you're going to keep getting the same thing.
Yes,
got to do something different.
Yes.
That's what you tell your patients. Say, hey, you don't need to hang around there, because you know this time of the year, you know how your mama act. You know she's going to say certain things to you. Maybe you just need to call your mama on the phone, send her a text. Happy Thanksgiving.
That's right.
Stay home.
That's right.
Don't go.
That's right.
Maybe because you know your ex-husband going to be there. Yeah, I'm serious. That's the kind of stuff that trigger people. Mm-hmm. We have guys that's in our program. They say somebody has died in their family. Okay, now we know they used to use drugs and all that. Mm-hmm. You know at the funeral, they're going to be a repass. And the repass, they're going to be lighting it up. They're going to have liquor. They're going to have them gummy bears. They're going to have everything there. And you're supposed to be drug free. I got to go see them, man. Ray died. I need to go to the funeral.
Uh-huh.
Now, you know, if you go to the funeral, may end up using. So guess what? If you go, you need to go in. Hey, Ray, see y'all. I'm out.
Yeah.
But so if you can't do that, you don't need to go.
Accountability.
Right. Yes. Accountability and responsibility. They roll together.
Yes.
If you're responsible, you're going to be accountable. If you're accountable, you're going to be responsible. They roll together. So if you're not going to do that, maybe you don't need to go to the funeral. I've told men that maybe you don't need to go home Christmas. Maybe you need to wait, go home another day because you're not ready to go home. Mm-hmm. Same thing with mental health. You know who's going to trigger you. You know that.
Yes.
You know you get in an argument about child support years ago. You get triggered and start that man and do this for you when y'all was together. You done got triggered and you done start going off. What you mean? And you're like, wait a minute. We got to see. You're going to see the therapist next week because you done lost it over something that happened 10 years ago. But it was a trigger.
It was a trigger. Wow. A major trigger. All right. So we have really enjoyed you being with us today. So BJ, what are some of your final thoughts?
Okay. The first one, stop living in denial. If you have a family member that needs help, acknowledge that. If you need help, leave Dr. Pookie alone. Find a pill doctor.
I like that. Rita?
Well, we learned so much. And yeah, leave Pookie alone, apparently. So if you don't have to be positive all the time, I know that it's okay to feel angry and sad and annoyed. Show your feelings. It doesn't make you a bad person. It just makes you human.
Don, we are so blessed to have had you on our show today. Okay. And you have got to come back and join us. You've just got to come back. So
well, I appreciate it.
Thank you. Hey, Maria got some final thoughts.
Maria, you got some thoughts?
You know, she's that millennial. Is it the millennial age? Okay, what are your final thoughts, Maria? You know, young people, they think that they don't have psychological issues. It's okay. All right, so no. Okay,
well,
Maria,
from a clinical nursing standpoint, from my side, what you have said to me today is encouraging, and to translate that over to my patients, since I put hands on them 3 times a week, 4 hours a day. So I will be speaking with them about all of this, and it's good information.
Okay. All right, Donald. It's not Donald. It's John.
You just want to call me Donald so bad. I mean, you know. You just want to call me Donald.
Okay. So can we wrap
those accolades he has? He's a Donald.
All those letters behind his name. Okay, so give us some final thoughts.
Well, one of the things I would say to anybody, you know, take time out to enjoy the simple things in life. It's nothing that deep. And I'm going to say that. I know that sounds crazy, but we make things deeper than what they are. It's not that deep. It's going to be okay. You can work through any process, even if it's someone that you lose. Always remember the lessons that they taught you, you know, and take life more simple. Just enjoy the things you can enjoy. You know, and take time out. If you feel in a certain way, go speak to somebody. Speak to a mental health professional. It's okay. It's okay to feel what you feel. It becomes a problem when you don't do anything about what you feel in a positive manner. In a positive manner, do something positive. Take some time, read, relax, enjoy life.
Okay. Well, for those of you that are interested in our show, go ahead and write in kickingitwithkidneys.com. Okay.
Yes. And but no G.
But no G. Okay. Okay. No G. That's Ebonics, Don.
I know what I'm dealing with right here. I understand.
Okay. All right. Okay. So we hope that you have enjoyed the show today, and we look forward to you joining us on another segment of Kicking It with Kids.
Well, that's it for today. Thank you for listening to Kicking It with Kidneys with your host, Cindy Barclay. See you next week.
The views expressed on this podcast are educational and opinion-based. These are not medical doctors.
Be sure to catch us on social media on our website, kickingitwithkidneys.com, also on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube.